B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show. B75, The Fanatic.
All right, 3 o'clock hour. 2 o'clock hour was active. 3 o'clock hour is going to be more active. Good show. You're going to listen to every minute of the show today. It's Mike Missinelli Show. The 3 o'clock hour brought to us by Core Police Bakery and Deli, world famous tomato pie and hoagie party trays, every bit as good. All right, so at 3:30, in case you didn't hear it earlier, this Columbus issue, which has kind of been overpowered, to be honest with you. I mean, I set the wheels in motion yesterday before the Deshaun thing hit. But we still have the remnants of the fight down there in South Philly over the Columbus statue. We have Columbus statues being toppled all over the place, including in Baltimore this weekend. And so the issue now is a hot-button issue for Italian-Americans, most of whom think that they're being persecuted by the removal of Christopher Columbus statue. Now, I've already on a record saying that Christopher Columbus doesn't involve Italian pride for me at all. I've got plenty of other Italian pride symbols that I can go to without having to have Christopher Columbus, who it was proven through historical writings and his own diary, was a tyrant and a murderer and a slave owner and a practiced genocide on Native Americans. So, that's where I stand. Now, we're going to have a guy wrote an Italian-American wrote a letter to the editor of the Inquirer on Sunday who feels the way I do. And then we're going to have George Machetto, who is an attorney who feels the other way. And, in fact, is representing these guys that are guarding that Columbus statue in Marconi Plaza at 3:30. And we'll see how that goes. Again, it's a social experiment. I don't know how it's going to go, but it should be interesting. All right, so the Phillies are still practicing. And the Sixers will leave for the bubble in a couple days.
Thursday, yep.
And so we have that on the horizon as far as sports go. It's tenuous because we don't know what's going to happen once they actually get into the season and start playing and things like that, and whether guys get sick or whatever. We have some guys starting to opt out. We may have more of those guys opt out even when they go to the bubble, I guess, right?
Yeah, but I think once you get on that plane, I think you're in, but I there might be some guys that still change their mind because now Beal's not going. Mm-hmm. Washington shouldn't go as a team.
Yeah.
They just shouldn't go because now they lost Bertans and Beal.
Yeah. You know, we were talking about the Zach Wheeler thing yesterday. His wife's going to have a baby. He's all concerned about it. Trout the same way. You know, these guys have made enough money where they don't need it. You know, Zach Wheeler is due for a big payday, so maybe he wants that payday. But he also has a pregnant wife, and he can't take the risk and the whole bit. So these guys are in the back of their minds. They're there, but they're not really there. And I wonder how that will affect them, even if they decide to play. So that's another issue. And one other thing before we get back to this phone, so this is a show thing about the Eagles. I give the Eagles credit because they offered their season ticket holders a chance to defer their tickets to the next year.
Yeah.
We kept waiting for them to do something for them. And so finally they did something.
And that's good. It's the right thing to do because there's not going to be fans in seats.
Yeah.
There's not.
So,
not the way the country's headed.
And I wonder, like, how many hardcore fans will hang in there with that? Because to me, that's an offer you can't refuse. Yeah. Listen, if it happens, I'll watch it on TV. I'm deferring to next year.
To me, that's a no-brainer.
I already heard a buddy of mine sees Diggy. I already tell him to defer.
Now what happens if it comes down to it? I guess everybody will end up deferring.
Won't lose their place. So,
right.
You know, just pick it up next year, same spot, and they save the money for this year to put it towards next year.
Oh, I mean, if they're still considering the waivers, I guess those people who hold on to them will go to the games?
If they're allowed,
they're hanging in there for that reason.
Okay.
And then I guess they'll end up opening up some. If enough people defer,
what I'm wondering, yeah.
I think they would open up some, and there would be a big
single
run
game
for
tickets,
them. And
yeah.
They could probably, I don't think they should, but they could probably charge more.
Yeah.
I'm serious. If there's 5,000 seats.
Right.
And 3,500 people are going to opt out, so there's 1,500 available or something, or 30, you know, you could probably charge whatever you wanted, and people would want to get into those games. It's not right. It wouldn't be the right thing to do, but they would get the money.
Yeah. All right. Let's Let's get a Phil in Mayfair. Phil, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Phil?
Thanks, Mike. How you feeling, man?
Good, Phil. How you doing?
I'm good. So I want to get right to it, man. So first, you know, unfortunately, we live in a society where people aren't well-read and lack the ability to think critically. And so now we all have this platform to highlight exactly how unenlightened we are on certain topics. For example, this Hitler quote, right? Or alleged Hitler quote, because it was debunked by Snopes 3 years ago, right? But you hear everybody talking about it. That doesn't make it, make it right, him posting it. But I feel like in his attempt to galvanize black folk, right, he pulled from a source that he had no idea about, right? I don't think he had any idea of the ramifications that would come with it. Listen, I love Deshaun, but does he strike me as a thinker? Not necessarily, right? And so when we talk about just, you know, penalties for him, should he be suspended? Should he be cut? Listen, man, I can't give my opinion on that just because the organization has had fundamental problems with regards to race and prejudice comments over the years, right? So we look at the Riley Cooper situation. Never forget 2017 with Jeffrey Lurie and the comments he made about Kaepernick, right? How he compared the protest to Michael Vick and dogs and the dog whistle about his acumen as a football player. So I would just find it a bit disingenuous, especially for this franchise, to penalize him in the form of cutting, maybe a suspension, you know, one game. But it's just unfortunate. This is where we are, right? In society where, you know, it's we just aren't doing our best, man, when it comes to checking resources, checking facts. And again, I believe Deshaun when he in his post. And so it's just a sad time, and it's a necessary time.
Great words and very thought provoking response. Now, here's what I got. What is your responsibility as a human? Your responsibility as a human is to have a basic understanding, a semi understanding, we have to be semi aware of obvious things, right? So, like, when did we learn in school about the Second World War?
Oh, man, we talk about...
So what grade were we in when we learned the Second World War,
World War?
And what we learned about the Second World War is that there was this tyrant who exterminated people in concentration camps. It's part of the narrative, right? That we learned with, what, 7th to 8th grade? Whatever it is. Agreed. So this is what I'm going, like, with Deshaun, I go, dude... You know, that's all I'm saying. It's not that complicated an issue for me. I understand what his motivation was, but you can't include the other thing. That goes against basic understanding.
And that's where I go to say he can't read the room, right? He lacks the ability to read the room. And so when we have these platforms to speak what it is that we think we feel, right? Like, you want to dare catch me talk about nuclear physics or anything like mm-hmm. that, because I have no idea about that. And just one last thing, when it comes to the Farrakhan quote, I liken it to like Kyrie Irving whenever he says anything out his mouth, right? Just because he thinks that the world is square. And so it's about the messenger, right? It's the messenger. And so with Farrakhan in that situation, listen, we understand he's anti-Semitic, but black people have an inherent fear of vaccines. Why? Because the Tuskegee experiment, which a lot of your listeners might not be familiar with, 50 years injecting black folk with syphilis to see what the results are, right?
Yes.
So again, the messenger matters, and with Deshaun, clearly the messenger matters, and you know, he effed up. He flubbed up.
Man. Yeah, I know he did, and I know, and people are saying, well, you had to apologize. You screwed up and you apologized. Yeah, I did. And and I was embarrassed. And I had to apologize for it. And I look at his apology, okay. If it's an earnest apology, I gotcha. I'm just like, the point of attack is what I... And this, the same goes for Patrick Chambers. So, like, I'm so disappointed in that, because I know the guy. I think he's a good guy. And for him to just throw that remark out there to a player, I go, how do you not understand that basic principle? All right, let's go Miguel in Norristown. Miguel, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Miguel.
Hey, what's going on, Mike?
What's going on, Miguel?
Hey, not too much. I'll get right to it because I know that you guys' time is limited, and I appreciate what you guys have been doing on the radio and different topics that you've been supporting throughout the last couple of weeks. So, first of all, when we get to this topic, I am one that I'm sick and tired of people apologizing and then going back on their words and what they have to say. I agree with the message that he spoke. okay? And I don't agree with any message that Hitler ever spoke, but I agree with the message that he spoke. And I'll tell you why. Because far too often, we get put down as a society, as a black man, and we all have seen the progressions that have happened over time. George Floyd didn't just happen, and that was the only thing that ever happened, because my cousin, Laquan McDonald, he was also murdered, and Rahm Emanuel and his brother covered that up. I'll bring that back to sports, because his brother is also a sports agent. So the reason why I'm bringing those topics up is because of things that he said, and that message was to uplift black people by letting them know that if you actually take a stance against the things that have happened, i.e. Donald Sterling and his messages, because his message was the same message, that you people, black people, his players, were just property. And he came in, he said those words out loud. These are his own words. And Donald Sterling was an owner for over 33 years before buying the team for $12.5 million and making $1 billion. So he made money, even though his comments were heinous. And what
you're preaching here, and I appreciate it because you're right. But how does slurring another culture, another religion, help that the whole situation? We're trying to be more enlightened, not less.
I agree with you, Mike, and I just don't feel like that he was trying to downgrade Jewish.
Well, how
people.
Do you know? How do you not? You read the quote?
Yes, I have read the quote. And I've seen the quote 100 times. This isn't the first time, honestly, that Louis Farrakhan has said that. And I don't agree with his message per se, but that quote, he just took a line out. He highlighted a piece of a longer segment. I agree that that part is ignorant. In highlighting a piece of a longer segment and not explaining the context of what you're saying, that part is ignorant. But in the context of the things that have been happening over time, and I don't want to get preachy,
but we certainly have become awakened to that. Have we not? Are we a little more awakened today, especially over the last month or so?
We have, Mike. We have become
awakened. All right, well, we're trying. But, I'm trying.
I agree, Mike. And I'm with you, Mike, because you guys, unlike a lot of other stations, you know, you're actually speaking the truth, so I'm with you on that, but don't say that.
Here's the only thing I can say. And, you know, we have to cut you off somewhere along the line. I get your point. You're passionate about it. But to denigrate others to make up for your denigration doesn't work either. And so that's what I'm saying. Like, we have to be awakened, and we can't be awakened by saying, okay, let me compare it to this. And in doing that, you slur another culture.
It's like the divisive rhetoric from wherever is counterproductive to, I think, what everybody is trying to achieve. That's
right.
The way that I'm looking at it.
Like, what wrong is wrong? Whether we're talking about Black Lives Matter and how black people have been treated in this country or this, because people are sensitive to this kind of thing. People who live in everyday society are sensitive to something like this. We can't just sit around and play whack-a-mole.
And he mentioned, oh, he took one sentence from it. It said Hitler at the top of it.
Yes, it did.
So even though Hitler didn't say it, and therefore, it doesn't matter. Like, you can't, the messenger does matter. You can't say, oh, well, I don't agree with Farrakhan, but that's the problem. That's been the problem for a long time.
Farrakhan is Farrakhan. He has his own agenda to put forth. He is known for his agenda. He believes in his agenda, whatever. DeSean Jackson is in a different category. DeSean Jackson plays for the Philadelphia Eagles. Him doing this reflects poorly on the people that run the Philadelphia Eagles. That religion, that culture. It's two different things.
Exactly. People go to Farrakhan for Farrakhan.
Right.
I'm not going, DeSean Jackson, your job is to play football. And it's not that you shouldn't speak other things, but you can't just denigrate an entire religion.
And that's the whole point.
While
the denigration
you're trying to lift up
part
your people.
Of it.
You can't do it.
All right, let's go. Jason and Cherry Hill. Jason, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jason.
Oh, Michael?
What's up, Jason?
So I want to talk to you a little bit about, obviously, you don't from Hill.
What happened there?
He was hitting a button on purpose like a jerk.
Oh, he was?
Yeah.
Why would he do that? Did he have something to say?
I don't know.
Sam in Philly. Sam, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Sam.
Mike, I apologize. I am very nervous, first-time caller. Also very upset. I am 70 years old, and my father had 7 children. I'm the only one living. My dad lost his first wife and 5 children in Auschwitz. He came back home, married my mom. I had a sister that was born in 1947 and basically died of malnutrition. I was born in 1950 and emigrated to this country in 1968. I've listened to Deshaun's apology, and I just cannot accept it. You know, he apologized to all these people. Well, who are these old people? He can't even say Jewish people. You know, so I am upset. I wanted to give a call, and I was listening to the previous caller that was talking about Farrakhan, and I can only tell you this, that gentleman most likely cannot name any Jewish people, whether they be lawyers or whether they be social workers, that were down in the South, that got murdered by Ku Klux Klan because they were trying to help African Americans. So I have a message for people like that. Learn from your history. If you don't, it will repeat itself. Especially now, when you have a president who's very divisive on various issues. Mike, that's all I have.
Sam, I appreciate your thoughts. Thank you for calling. And, you know, listen, my best to your family. It's a horrible thing what happened to your family. And so you have my sympathy and empathy. All right, let's go. Sean in media. Sean, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Sean.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
What's up, Sean?
It's just a shame that we always kind of find these topics, but it's not a shame because it's something that needs to be, you know, talked about and discussed. You know, when it goes back to it, I always kind of want to look at these, like, tweets or Instagram posts and kind of see, like, what time of morning or night did he put these out? Because if it was 2 in the morning, was he intoxicated? Was he not? I know that doesn't take anything away from it, but I almost, and Tyrone might be able to touch base on this. I mean, I don't want to agree with what he said, but I think that he was doing it to say that, you know, there were other people besides black people getting, you know, vilified before it was just black people. And so they should look at that. But the minute that you see that Hitler was the topic of your comment that you put, like, he's got to know who Hitler was. I mean, Hitler was Satan. I mean, he was Satan. So that's where I'm with you. I just don't understand how he didn't see that immediately. How he didn't realize what he was doing.
Well, I don't think he really gave it a thought on who else he would maybe offending. And to me, that's the whole point of expansive thinking. You know, this is why we all have to open our mind and think.
I think that his heart was probably in the right place trying to defend, like, the black people. But either he's not educated enough to defend, you know, the black people, or whether or not. But you know what I mean? I think that he was coming from the right place.
Yeah, I get it. I know what he was trying to do. But, like, to say, well, he wasn't educated enough to understand. I have a hard time dealing with that. This is a guy that's been around. He's traveled. He's had the benefit of being a pro athlete, of traveling, of having access to things.
You're absolutely right. That's why it's even harder to grasp, knowing that he's been exposed to all the stuff he's been exposed to, but yet he's still. And going back to what you said an hour ago, I couldn't even really understand that comment that, like, Hitler put out. I don't know if it got lost in translation from German to English, but even that comment made no sense. So I don't even know what, like, Deshaun was reposting that, because you guys were trying to re-translate that or explain it, and even Tyrone said that really doesn't make sense.
Yeah, listen. He also went to Cal Berkeley, okay? Which is like the ultimate collegiate think tank. Now, I'm not saying that has to rub off if you're just go a place and you just consider yourself a football player. But it's such a bastion of liberalness and issues that people talk about all constantly at Berkeley.
Yeah.
So you would think that he would have a little more enlightenment than that. That's all I'm saying.
No, you're right. And he should. And the apology, I know you played earlier, was odd, too.
Well, let's hear it. Let's hear his apology. And, let's discuss it.
What's going on? I've been getting a lot of backlash and, feedback from an Instagram post that I put on my Instagram story. I just want to, first off, extend an apology on the behalf of me and what I stand for, because, I'm one that's fair, and I never want to put any race down or any people down. And, my post was definitely not intended for anybody of any race to feel any type of way, especially the Jewish community. When I posted what I posted, I definitely didn't mean it to the extent that you guys took it. And I just wanted to let you guys know that I'm, very apologetic, and I just want you guys to understand that it never was intended to be, to put any race down or any religion down. I post things on my story all the time, and I just probably shouldn't have never posted anything that Hitler did, because Hitler was a bad person, and I know that. And I was just trying to uplift African Americans and slavery and just enlighten my people. So on behalf of myself, I just want to let you guys know I apologize. I didn't intend, any harm or any hatred towards any people. I'm for one. I'm for love. And I extend it every day. People that know me know I have no hatred in my heart. And I never try to, put another religion down to uplift my religion or my race. So, from the bottom of my heart, I just want you guys to understand that. And it's coming from me and my feelings. And, I just hopefully everybody respects my platform, my opinion, to try to just enlighten my people and just let everybody know that there's no hatred involved. So I hope you guys understand that and realize.
All right. I mean, there he is. And Hitler was a bad person. I know that. Well, okay, and then connect the dots on everything else. It wasn't intended for any race to feel any kind of way. I didn't mean to the extent you guys took it. I got nothing. I got nothing.
Yeah, that's
seriously. Hitler's a bad person. I know that. Well, then you didn't care about that. Well, that's what it means, that you didn't care.
I feel like with everything that's going on, people are kind of trying to find some solace or find something in somebody else or in something else to put things into perspective. And it seems like whatever Deshaun is reading or whatever he's, trying to sort through is that's what he's putting out. But he's not really getting that it's at the disparagement of somebody else. That's what it seems like, because if it's coming from this guy who had the quote or had the speech over the weekend, now he's feeling passionate about it. Now he's putting it out there, but now he'll be aware.
Yeah. All right. So when we come back, we're going to settle an Italian American issue, the Columbus issue. Should Italian Americans see that as a source of pride or not? And we have two opinions on either side of the issue, kind of a point counterpoint. We're going to try it out. A guy named Dino Pinto is a teacher at St. Joe Prep, who had a letter to the editor in the Inquirer where he was anti-Columbus, and George Ricchetto, who is pro-Columbus and who is representing the people who guarded the Columbus statue in Marconi Plaza. That's after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
All right, 3:30, Mike Missinelli Show. Let's get right to it, because it's become a national issue, and it's certainly a local issue. The Christopher Columbus statues are being toppled. There are a lot of people protesting the Christopher Columbus issue, that he really wasn't an upstanding hero in the Italian-American community. And we've invited two guests on of opposing views on this. Our first guest is a man named Dino Pinto, who is a instructor at St. Joe's Prep, but also taught on an Indian reservation for 3 years, where he learned from Native Americans what Columbus represented. And we have George Bichetto, who was a well-known attorney in the city, formerly heavily involved in boxing in the city, a very well-known attorney who's on the other side of the issue, and in fact is representing the guys that are trying to protect the Christopher Columbus statue on Marconi Plaza. First, thank you guys for coming on. I appreciate it. Dina, let me just first start with you, because you had an op-ed piece in Sunday's Inquirer. The headline of it pretty much synopsis what you're trying to say. We can do better than Columbus. And then you get deep into it. And tell me about what shaped your view to be anti-Columbus.
Well, thanks for having me on, Mike. I'm glad that there are Italian Americans that still want to talk to me. So appreciate being on. So my experience was, as I get into the piece, is I'm a son of two Italian immigrants. My mom came here in 1961 on a boat called the Christopher Columbus. And I am unabashedly proud to be an Italian American. It's something that I try to instill into my children. And I had an experience when I graduated from St. Joe's where I went and taught out on the Pine Ridge Reservation. And having an experience of encountering a group of indigenous people and seeing what Columbus meant to them. You know, prior to going out there, I was at Columbus festivals. I was proudly waving a flag. I never really understood the implications of what Columbus might mean to another group of people. After being out there and seeing that, kind of the pain and the trauma, and you know, very legitimate as I studied history, that the story of Columbus, the symbolism of Columbus and what it represented in the way of colonization and land extraction and 500 years of indigenous people still trying to get their footing, and growing to love a group of people out there, I really had no choice if I was going to honor their story and the way in which they transformed me was to continue to carry that Columbus banner. So for me, my position is, and I can get more into this later, but I think that we have an alternative that's much better as Italian Americans.
Okay, so first of all, I want to say that I agree with your side, and I don't want to. I'm trying to be a moderator here. And what you write in the Inquirer piece is that he symbolizes to Native Americans the land pillaging and genocide that came with European colonization, and so it's 500 years of oppression and death at the hands of European settlers. Now, George, can you refute that? George Bichetto is with us. George, is he not right about that?
Well, let's put it this way. What I've done and the position that I'm advancing neither accepts nor refutes that position. Where I am is that whatever you might think of the Columbus statue or the Rizzo statue or some of these other monuments or statues, the way to proceed is through due process, through informed public debate on what should happen to these statues, and perhaps rededicating them or reutilizing them for some other historical purpose. What is not acceptable is for a mob in the middle of the night to wrap a chain around one of them and just collapse the thing in a lawless fashion. Nor is it acceptable to me for the mayor of Philadelphia to essentially do the same thing under color of being the mayor and ripping down statutes that violate every procedure and every law on the books. And it is on that basis that I have opposed what's taking place in this city by the mayor and by certain looters, as opposed to, inserting myself into the debate as to whether Christopher Columbus was or was not a worthy historical figure.
Okay, it's spoken like a true attorney, and you phrased it beautifully. But here's the thing that we're talking about. Why would we have the energy in this climate of resisting oppression? Why would we have the energy to try to preserve something that we know inherently is bad?
Well, the energy is devoted to making sure that we follow the right path in terms of how to proceed, not whether to proceed, not in which direction we proceed, but how do we organize ourselves? How do we as a civilized community approach these issues and work them out? If there is overwhelming public sentiment that the statue ought to be relocated or come down, fine, so be it. But you don't do it in the middle of the night at the end of a chain.
Well, I don't know. Is there a protocol for this? I mean, is passion greater than procedural when it comes to issues that we're finally being enlightened to?
Well, you know, if you're going to allow passion to override procedure in this instance, then the next passion might be to come string you up. And my guess is that you're going to want to insist that there be a procedure before they.
Well, first of all, why would that happen at all? Like, I don't understand that comment whatsoever.
Well,
I'm not Christopher Columbus who raped and pillaged and murdered.
But Mike,
you know what I'm saying?
Mike, no, what? I don't know what you're saying.
Okay.
Here's the problem with what you're saying.
Okay.
Mike.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying that anytime there's passion, that should somehow be allowed to override procedure. Well, today the passion is on Christopher Columbus. Mm-hmm. Who knows where it goes 6 months from now? Maybe 6 months from now the passion is on Mike Missinelli. Maybe
okay.
Mike had a guest on his show that nobody liked. Maybe Mike makes a comment that nobody likes. Maybe Mike becomes the object of this passion.
Mm-hmm.
And are we going to just let the mob go get Mike?
Okay. You make sense when it comes to that kind of a point. And I know you're not injecting yourself in. I'm trying to discuss the issue. As Dino points out that you're defending people who are actually supporting Columbus. And they don't think anything about it. They're not arguing your procedure. They're arguing that Christopher Columbus should stand because he was a great Italian American.
Well,
now, I know as a lawyer, you can't concern yourself with that.
I disagree with that too, Mike, because I know who I'm representing and I've had direct discussions mm-hmm. with them, and they will accept whatever result obtains. Once you go through the Art Commission and the Historical Commission, and there's due deliberation, and there's
I find that very hard to believe, George. I got to be honest with you. You're talking about guys that are passionate enough to bring guns and bats to protect that statue from not coming down. Are you going to tell me they're going to adhere to procedure?
I don't represent the guns and bats
voters. All right.
I represent the president of Marconi Plaza, who is a very thoughtful individual and who has explicitly told me that he will accept any result out of a lawful process.
Okay.
What he objects to is being subjected to a middle-of-the-night raid where no one gets an opportunity to express their opinion.
Okay. All right, that's fair. Dino, do you have any final thoughts? And we appreciate both of you guys coming on, really. Any final thoughts?
Twofold, Mike, if I can just make two points.
Uh-huh.
The first one is, I agree with Mr. Ricchetto in that I don't condone the statue coming down by a group of protesters. But the one thing that I want him to understand and the community that he represents to understand that this has been something that the indigenous community has been trying to get done for 20 years. And this isn't just George Floyd leading to this. This is a watershed moment that has been building up for 20 years that people have been trying to go through due process. So I just want to say that point. And the second point is I would just hope that my brothers, who he represents, would consider doing this for the right and ethical reasons, not because the mayor says that it can stay or it has to go. And I just would leave you with that.
All righty. Thank you very much, George. I appreciate you coming on. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Dino, thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
All right. Thank you very much. A little quick up and down on the Columbus statue. And, I understand what George McKenna was saying. Okay. There's a way to do things. But sometimes there's not. And sometimes you have to give in to passion. And I know this is not on the same scale, but were they thinking about procedure? in Iraq when they toppled the Saddam Hussein statue and pulled that down? We're thinking about procedure in the old Soviet Union when they finally ripped the statue of Stalin down. You know, I get the procedure part of it, but that only blurs the underlying feeling about these particular men. 610-632-0975. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
345, Mike Missinelli Show. Another issue is the changing the name of the Washington football team. Their odds set on the new name. And, of course, the president doesn't agree with it. He thinks it's going it's too politically correct to ask for a name change for the Washington football franchise. So there's that. But let me get into the odds here. Okay, here we go. New name odds. The favorite right now is the Red Tails.
Yeah, I like that one.
Yeah, and the Red Tails have a special meaning and certainly would honor the black pilots who were part of our military. So I like it. The second one is generals.
No. I mean,
it's 4-1. Red Tails are 3-1.
I mean, whatever. I mean, it's fine. It's better than what they have, but.
Okay. Let's go to presidents.
No.
The Lincolns.
No.
The veterans.
Nope.
The Capitals.
No.
The Americans.
No.
The memorials.
I can live with that. I don't love it, but I can live with that. Red Tails to me has been, for me, been far and away the...
Yeah.
Because it also, I think it fits, it rolls off the tongue.
Yeah. The Kings.
I mean, I think Kings is a good name. And he only got the LA Kings.
Yeah.
And more than one. Like, I wouldn't be against the Kings.
You get the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah, oh yeah, Sacramento Kings, yeah. Nah, I didn't know.
No Kings?
I forgot about the Sacramento Kings.
No. The Roosevelts?
Nah, no. You can't, yeah.
The Red Hawks?
I gotta find out.
Bad.
I gotta find out the meaning, but right. It's not bad.
On the surface, it sounds okay.
Yeah, on the surface, I'm good with it.
15-1.
Maybe that's the one you bet on.
The Jeffersons.
No, all those I don't think work. I don't think any of those work.
The Jeffersons.
They had to move it on up.
I was gonna say.
And what's the logo? Is it gonna be George dancing?
the Renegades.
See, I don't mind, but that sounds like a little...
XFL-y?
XFL minor league, Bush League-ish.
Yeah, it does. The Arlingtons.
No.
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 Yeah, then we get to the big odds. The Hogs, 50-1.
No.
The Snowflakes are 500-1, and the Trumps are 500-1. The Cleveland Indians' new name.
Okay, here we go.
Spiders.
No,
is the favorite.
Nobody likes spiders.
I don't like spiders, but I don't hate that name. I don't hate it as much as I'm
the Cleveland kinda, spiders.
Yeah, because they're poisonous spiders.
Why is that the favorite though?
Oh, I don't know why that would be the favorite.
Does Cleveland have a lot of spiders?
I have no idea.
I never heard that they were known for spiders.
There's the college teams with spiders. You know which one?
I do, but I guess. Go ahead, tell
me. Oh, the Richmond Spiders. Yeah.
My brother was.
Richmond Spiders.
They played against Richmond. Yeah.
The Naps.
The Naps? No, that's Indianapolis. It's Nap Town, so I'm against Cleveland having Naps.
Okay. The Guardians.
I don't hate it.
Cleveland Guardians.
I don't mind it.
It's not very Major League Baseball-esque, though. You see, Major League Baseball, it's a hard... Like, these all look inferior to me.
Right, but
the Buckeyes. Enough of that. Yeah, the Buckeyes. The Dobies. They're Larry Doby.
Oh.
The Wild Things.
No.
Blue Sox are 9-1.
I'm not against. Now that's interesting. The Blue Sox might work. That might be my favorite so far for them. The Blue Sox.
the Rocks seem to be, like, a lot of people like the Rocks for
some
reason.
Well, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is there.
There's Cleveland Rocks. Okay.
Yeah.
That's Cleveland, not awful.
The Cuyahogas.
No, it's too hard to say. Yeah. And who can spell it?
That's right. Of course, that was Bob Uecker in Major League.
Yeah.
The Crows.
See, I like
Cleveland
the
Crows.
I do like
I
that.
I like the Crows.
And
yeah.
Good alliteration.
And crows are a smart bird, they're finding out.
Are they?
Yes, they hold grudges, and they expect their family to hold that grudge.
Wow.
They're smart enough to say that. Crows are smart.
Here's another one. It's on the Rocks theme. The Rockers. Then you got the Unions. Nah. The Fellers. Nah. But here's one, I think. The Great Lakers.
Ooh. The Cleveland.
40-1.
Great Lakers.
That's not bad, the Great Lakers.
Let's hear it for the Great Lakers. Seventh inning stretch.
Great Lakers. No?
I don't know. I just feel like adding an ERS to the end of, like, I don't know. I like the Rockers.
The Lakes, Cleveland, the mistake on the Lake.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rockers probably better than Rocks.
Yeah, the
Rockers
rock,
is
rockers.
Better than Rocks.
Rockers. Okay. You can have Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty there.
Yeah,
the
wow. Spiders is a favorite. I don't get it. All right, let's go Ryan in Lumberton. Ryan, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ryan.
How you doing today, Mike?
What's up, Ryan?
Before I get into my Eagles point, I actually want to tell you, because I know why they're considering Spiders, and I know why it's the favorite. It's because there was an old baseball team in, like, the late 1800s, early 1900s, that Cy Young pitched for, actually, called the Cleveland Spiders.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So there's a history to that.
Oh, all right.
So that's why it's favorite.
Okay, all right, I got you. That's good. That's good info.
But anyway, here's what I basically just want to say about the Eagles. It's really simple. People keep saying, you know, the whole Riley Cooper thing, they didn't handle that right, you know. But the way I think of it, you could just say, hey, listen, we made a mistake with the Riley Cooper thing. We're not going to make the same mistake this time, and we're going to either suspend this guy or, frankly, I would cut him. And I understand that that's, you know, detrimental to the team and all that, but, I mean, that kind of language just doesn't have any place in any society today at all.
What's the first question that will come up? Oh, you didn't suspend a white man, but you're going to suspend a black man. Now, in this climate, you probably can't corporately do something like that.
I understand that, but I guess my scenario is more like, you know, in a perfect world kind of a thing, because I think that would be the right thing to do. If you're talking, you know, what's the, you know, quote unquote corporate way to handle this? What would you do then if you were?
He's got to be suspended for at least a game by the team. And I know it's going to look hypocritical because they didn't do the same to Riley Cooper, but you know, the times are such that we have to be more aware and more enlightened. And if they take heat for suspending them for a game, then they're going to have to take the heat. But I think that you just can't let it pass.
Well, I mean, you know, I hear your point, but to me, it's more you could just say, okay, you know, from now on, this is what it's going to be. And I think if this were to happen again, unfortunately, this kind of thing happens so often, I think something like this would happen again. As long as you don't spin the random punishment generator like Goodell does, you actually, you know, make the punishments consistent with everybody, and you could demonstrate that, then I don't think that this is a bad place to set a new precedent.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they handle it. Now, they came out with a pretty strong statement today. So, what are we going to get? Are we going to get a strong statement and no action? We might not get any action. In which case, they're on the record of expressing their disappointment and their outrage, and it goes away. I don't know what's going to happen. What do you think, Tyrone?
See, he's got to be suspended. He has to be suspended for at least a game. And he has to come up with a different way to apologize, because obviously words didn't work.
Yeah.
So he's going to have to do something. In fact, there's been, unfortunately, a rise in a lot of places in anti-Semitic violence. Now, some of that has slowed down due to the virus and people being in the house. He maybe should go speak to one of those synagogues and learn. He should have to now do something, and that will determine how long the suspension. But to me, he has to be suspended, and you have to take the heat, and you have to then say out loud, we were wrong the last time. Like, say it out loud.
Yeah.
Because none of them ever have.
No, they
kind of, you know what I mean? Like, they just sort of let Chip do what Chip did and they just laid in the background, say we were wrong, Chip was wrong, Riley was wrong, we're going to do right going forward.
All right, 610-620-975. Been a very active day on the phones. We appreciate everybody's contributions. We'll try to get to everybody as quickly as possible. We have Alejandro Bedoya coming on at 4:30 to speak about the Union playing in a bubble. Yeah, it's another sport in a bubble, and one team in the MLS has already opted out. So we'll see what's up with the Union at about 4:30. Mike Mussinelli Show back after this.